Let's turn back to Ruth chapter 2. As Brother Bob just read this, I was blessed in the reading of it. Again, I love this. And while he was praying, I was praying with him, Lord, take me out of the equation. All I can do is ruin this. So if the Lord will take me out of it today, boy, this is precious. This is just precious. Last Sunday, we said that this beautiful story of Ruth tells the whole life of a believer. That's what the story of Ruth tells, the whole life of the believer. It's an illustration of the entire journey of a child of God. Everything that happens to him, from the covenant to the king, we saw last week. The last word in this book, the very last word, chapter 4, verse 22, is David. King David. Verse 11 mentions the word Israel. That's Jacob. That's the seed of Isaac. And then it starts telling who Jacob had, and he had Judah, and then it tells who Judah had. He had Perez, and then it tells who Perez had, and so on and so forth until you get to David. It's our story from the covenant to the king. That's what this is. Chapter 1. We began this in chapter 1, the first 5 verses. And that was everything that God finished from the foundation of the world. That was the whole story in 5 verses, wasn't it? It was all finished. All His works from the beginning, ordered and sure. And then Naomi, whose name means grace, preached the gospel. Grace told the truth to 2 sinners from Moab, beginning in verse 6 and through the rest of chapter 1. Grace told them the truth. You belong here. Why are you going to follow me to the house of bread? You're from Moab. It was a savor of death to one of them, Orpah. It says that she returned to her false gods. But it says, Ruth clave to grace. She clave to Naomi, right? And she said, entreat me not to leave thee. I pray that God would entreat me not to leave grace. Lord, don't let me quit preaching grace. Don't let me quit believing grace. Don't let me quit clinging to grace. Keep me. Entreat me not to leave thee. She said, I want to go where you go. I want to go where grace goes. She said, I want to lodge where you lodge. I want to live where the God of grace is. I want your people, the people of grace, to be my people. I want your God, the God of grace, to be my God. I must die where you die. I must be buried where you're buried. Grace confronted her. Grace called her. Grace brought her. That was the end of chapter 1. Grace brought her humbly. Grace brought her lowly. But grace brought her straight to the Lord Jesus Christ. Chapter 2, verse 1 says, and Naomi, Grace, had a kinsman. A kinsman. The God of grace had a kinsman. Naomi had a kinsman of her husband's, a mighty man of wealth, of the family of Elimelech, the God of the king. And his name was Boaz. We began this by looking up definitions of names in our concordance. There is no known definition for the name Boaz in the concordance. But God gave us one. All right, let me show you this over in 2 Chronicles chapter 3. Go with me over to 2 Chronicles chapter 3. It's after Kings. Second Chronicles 3. This is Solomon building the temple. And on the front of the temple was Solomon's porch. All right. Verse 17. Second Chronicles 3:17 says, "And he reared up the pillars before the temple. On the right hand, one on the right hand and the other on the left. And he called the name of that on the right hand, Jachin." And if you have a margin, mine says, that is, "He shall establish." And the name of that on the left, he called it Boaz. That is, "In it is strength." Two pillars for the temple. He shall establish. In it is strength. David said, "The Lord is the strength of my life." This kinsman represents the God-man, the Lord Jesus Christ, the only one who is able, the only one. In him is strength. Back over in Ruth 2, verse 1 says, "And Naomi had a kinsman of her husband's, a mighty man of wealth, of the family of Elimelech, and his name was Boaz. And Ruth the Moabitess said unto Naomi, 'Let me now go to the field and glean ears of corn after him in whose sight I shall find grace.' And she said unto her, 'Go, my daughter.'" After a sinner is brought out, Ruth has been brought, they're no longer in Moab. Okay? They're in Bethlehem. After a sinner is called out from darkness to light, from the house of sin to the house of bread, after true spiritual life is given, that sinner begins to recognize a spiritual need. There's a need that we have. Every one of us. There is a true hunger. And there's a true thirst that's produced in every sinner that's called out. And that sinner will say, "I need to glean. I need to glean." You know that's why I'm here today? I'm here to glean. So that sinner is going to start looking for some food. It happens every time. I'm missing something. It's like I'm chewing gum. My mouth is going through the motions, but I'm not swallowing anything. I need some spiritual food. That's what I need. And grace is going to tell that sinner, "Go. Go to the field. The field of harvest. It's the Word of God." That's what the field is. The Word of God. If we want some spiritual food, where do we go? The Word of God. When a sinner comes to Christ, he or she comes to His Word. You know that? When God opens a sinner's eyes, their eyes are opened to His Word. And they come to Him through His Word. They begin to truly know Him. They begin to truly love Him. Not morality and good clothes and seeing people at the restaurant after church on Sunday. They begin to love Him. They begin to crave Him and His Word. They really do. They begin for the first time to hear His voice. They start hearing Him speak to them through His Word. You know that? Through His Word. Their eyes are open to His glorious goodness through His Word. The promise of His Word. This Word is His field. All right? Verse 3 says, "And she went and came and gleaned in the field after the reapers." The reapers are the ones who work in the field. Right? His servants, His preachers. "She went and came and gleaned in the field after the reapers, and her happening was to light on a part of the field belonging unto Boaz, who was of the kindred of Elimelech." Her happening, it just so happened. It was amazing. You know, I heard the truth through my father, but my father heard it through somebody else, and it was just amazing. It just so happened. One day, the gospel crossed his path. I went out to California last year, maybe a little more than a year ago. And the church in San Diego was telling me how they ran, just so happened they found a man named Henry Mahan on sermon audio. I was just clicking, those little things came up, it just so happened. The Lord caused my path to cross the truth. It just so happened. Her happening is the same happening of every child of God, every elected bride of Christ. Grace is going to bring every one of them to glean from His reapers. Every one of them. Verse 4 says, "And behold, Boaz came from Bethlehem and said unto the reapers, The Lord be with you. And they answered him, The Lord bless thee." How good and kind is this master? That's not what you normally hear from masters of fields who have servants working in the fields. They're hard on them. "How come you haven't produced more than this?" That's what the masters of Egypt said, isn't it? This man walks out and says, "The Lord bless thee." And the Lord be with you. And they said, "The Lord bless thee." How sweet and tender are the words of this master. Spiritually speaking, we just saw the source and the subject of the message. That's what we just saw. The source, "The Lord be with you." The Lord be with you. No man can reap except the Lord be with him. He can try, but he just won't. There is no true message except the Lord be with him. It is not of God except the Lord be with him. He's the source of the message, and he's the subject of the message. They answered, "The Lord bless thee." All blessings, all honor, all glory, all praise be unto this great kinsman redeemer. Verse 5 says, "Then said Boaz unto his servant that was set over the reapers." Whose damsel is this? "Then said Christ to God the Spirit." Then said Christ to the counsel of God. Then said judgment to mercy. Whose damsel is this? Who does she belong to? Verse 6 says, "And the servant that was set over the reapers answered and said, 'It is the sinner that came back with grace out of the country of Moab.'" That's who it is. Out of the land of sin. Verse 7, "And she said, 'I pray you, let me glean and gather after the reapers among the sheaves.' So she came and hath continued even from the morning until now, that she tarried a little in the house." She came as a beggar. She came diligently. Clearly, she needed some rest. She tarried a little while in the house. She needs some rest. Now, Ruth knows who she is. She knows that she's from Moab. She knows that. She knows what condition she is in. She's a needy beggar. She has nothing to offer. She's just a beggar. She has clung to grace alone. The grace of God in Christ alone. She has been brought to the field of the only one who can redeem her. If you come to this field, it will clearly say there's only one who can redeem you. Just one. And she's following his reapers just to see if there's anything that she can glean. She reminds me of another very dear and precious lady in this scripture. Turn with me over to Matthew 15. Matthew 15, verse 21. "Then Jesus went thence and departed into the coast of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, 'Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with a devil.' But he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and besought him, saying, 'Send her away, for she crieth after us.' But he answered and said, 'I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel.' Then came she and worshipped him, saying, 'Lord, help me.'" Lord, help me. "But he answered and said, 'It is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it to dogs.' And she said, 'Truth. Truth, Lord. Yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from the master's table.' Then Jesus answered and said unto her, 'O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt.' And her daughter was made whole from that very hour." Help me, Lord. That's how a sinner comes. Help me, Lord. She's just a beggar. It just so happens she's come to the right field. She's come to the right master. Spiritually speaking, this poor sinner has come to the Word of God, following the master's servants to see if maybe there's just a crumb that might be left for her. Back over in Ruth 2, verse 8 says, "Then said Boaz unto Ruth," God spoke, "Hearest thou not, my daughter? Do you hear me? Do you hear me?" I pray that every sinner who's trying to glean in the field the Word of God, I pray that every sinner, starting with me, might wake up to this question. wake up to this question, might acknowledge this question, might in the depths of their soul desire for this question to be answered. Do you hear me? Do you hear me? You're gleaning in the field. You're following a reaper. Is he my reaper? Do you hear me? Yes, Lord, I do. I believe I do. Samuel said, "Speak, Lord, thy servant heareth." He said in verse 8, "Go not to glean in another field, neither go from hence, but abide here fast by my maidens." Don't go into any other field. Our Lord caused Solomon to write, "Of making many books there is no end, and much study is a weariness of the flesh." No other book has life in it. You know that? No other book. No other book can feed the soul. Other books can feed this mind, but they cannot feed this soul. They just can't. If I am absolutely starving, I don't need a cookbook. I need a meal. Everybody wants to write about it, right? I've written a new book. I've written something on the subject. God said faith comes by hearing. If I want to learn something about God's Word, what I need to do is listen to a message. That's what I need to do. I don't need a cookbook. I need a meal. A cookbook is about the meal. That won't feed my soul. It will not feed my soul. A person can learn all the doctrine that he wants to learn. He can get his mind around all of it, but it won't feed his soul. It just will not. Does he hear Christ in the Word? Does he hear Christ in the Word? Verse 8, Then said Boaz unto Ruth, "Hearest thou not, my daughter? Go not to glean in another field, neither go from hence, but abide here fast by my maidens. Let thine eyes be on the field that they do reap, and go thou after them. Have I not charged the young men that they shall not touch thee?" Touch means hurt. Spiritually speaking, if they're my servants, if they're reaping in my field, my word, you're safe. You are safe. Paul said to write the same things is not grievous. For you it is safe. It's safe. Moses said, "Come with us, we'll do you good." It's safe. As long as you stay in this field, your soul is going to be safe. Don't leave this field, and you'll never go hungry or thirsty ever again. Never again. Verse 9 says, "Let thine eyes be on the field that they do reap, and go thou after them. Have I not charged the young men that they shall not touch thee? And when thou art athirst, go unto the vessels and drink of that which the young men have drawn." God's messengers are just poor earthen vessels. Pitiful. Poor clay vessels. But the water that they draw, man, it's worth something. It's worth coming for. It'll satisfy a soul. It'll revive a spirit. It'll put life in a sinner. Water of the Word. That's what it is. Verse 10 says, "Then she fell on her face and bowed herself to the ground and said unto him, Why have I found grace in thine eyes that thou shouldest take knowledge of me, seeing I'm a stranger?" After seeing the precious promises of God's Word, have you ever said that? Have you ever said that? "Why have you taken knowledge of me?" I'm a stranger. I'm a sinner. I'm worthless. I'm nobody. Why me? Verse 11, and Boaz answered and said unto her, this is the answer that Christ will give to a broken sinner through His word. Verse 11, Boaz answered and said unto her, it hath fully been showed me all that thou hast done unto thy mother-in-law. Since the death of thine husband, and how thou hast left thy father and thy mother, and the land of thy nativity, and art come unto a people which thou knewest not heretofore, the Lord recompense thy work, and a full reward be given thee of the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings thou art come to trust. What? I've heard everything you've done. I know all of your works. Great reward is coming to you. What? Go over to Romans 4. Romans 4. Verse 1 says, what shall we say then that Abraham, our father, as pertaining to the flesh, hath found? For if Abraham were justified by works, he hath whereof to glory, but not before God. For what saith the Scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Now to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. Even as David also describeth the blessedness of the man unto whom God imputeth righteousness without works. Blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sin is covered. That says Abraham believed God, and God counted everything that Abraham believed in to Abraham as though he did it. And he said, I've seen everything you've done. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. How? By believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. That's how. Back over to Ruth 2, verse 12 says, the Lord recompense thy work, and a full reward be given thee of the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings thou art come to trust. Then she said, let me find favor in thy sight, my Lord, for that thou hast comforted me, and for that thou hast spoken friendly unto thy handmaid, though I be not like unto one of thine handmaidens. The word friendly in the margin right there means to the heart. Thou hast spoken to my heart. Gleaning in the master's field, it speaks to the heart. Places of just religion, sermons of religion, the field of religion, it speaks to the head. She gleaned in the master's field and she said, you've spoken to my heart. In spite of the fact that I'm not worthy, though I be not like one of thine handmaidens. Verse 14 says, and Boaz said unto her at mealtime, come thou hither and eat of the bread and dip thy morsel in the vinegar. There are two very important references to the word vinegar. I've never been so happy to preach in all my life. I can't wait to tell you this. There are two vital, vital references to the word vinegar. If you have a margin, it could be in your Bible. It's Numbers 6 and Psalm 69. Turn with me over to Numbers 6. This has fed my soul this week. I hope it feeds ours. Numbers 6, verse 3. He shall separate himself from wine and strong drink, and shall drink no vinegar of wine, or vinegar of strong drink. Neither shall he drink any liquor of grapes, nor eat moist grapes or dried. This is talking about the law of a Nazarite. That's one who has been separated unto the work of God. It was a great work. Number 6 tells about it. A vow, a promise, had to be fulfilled. All right? After the work was completed, after the promise was fulfilled, the end of verse 20 says, and after that, the Nazarite may drink wine. All right, now let's turn to the other reference. Psalm 69. These are the words of Christ Himself. Psalm 69, verse 21. They gave me also gall for my meat, and in my thirst they gave me vinegar to drink. Our Lord was a Nazarite. He was a Nazarite. He was separated for a work from God. That's what He was. He had a promise that He had to fulfill. And they offered Him the vinegar of wine, and He would not drink it. You remember that? Would not drink it. Until all of the sin from all of His people was fully pressed into Him. And until He was judged by God His Father. And as soon as justice was satisfied, as soon as righteousness kissed peace, as soon as all of His sheep were set free, He said, I thirst. Telling the world, it is finished. And they filled a sponge with the vinegar of wine. And they put it to His lips, and He drank. The vow has been fulfilled. Tell everybody. Isn't that amazing? Back over to Ruth, verse 14 says, and Boaz said unto her, at mealtime, come thou hither, and eat of the bread, and dip thy morsel in the vinegar. You eat of the bread of Christ, the bread of His Word, and you take your morsel and you dip it in that vinegar right there. You dip it in the finished work of Christ. The Word of the Lord, the promises of God, they're not just nourishing. You know, they're delicious. They truly are. It says, at mealtime, come thou hither and eat of the bread and dip thy morsel in the vinegar. And she sat beside the reapers, and he reached her parched corn, and she did eat and was sufficed and left. Boaz himself is the one who fed her. He reached her parched corn. Verse 15 says, and when she was risen up to glean, Boaz commanded his young men, saying, let her glean even among the sheaves and reproach her not. As soon as she tasted that precious promise, she got up and went to glean some more. I'll take some more, please. Verse 15, when she was risen up to glean, Boaz commanded his young men, saying, let her glean even among the sheaves and reproach her not. And let fall also some of the handfuls of purpose for her, and leave them that she may glean them and rebuke her not. That's what this field is. This field is handfuls of purpose. That's what the field is. Purpose. It's all on purpose. Every single bit of it. Everything we've been given has been given to us on purpose. God saved us on purpose. Every single thing that happens to us in this life is on purpose. Every bit of it. That's what a sinner is going to learn when they glean in the master's field. The master's in control and everything's on purpose. He's a God of purpose. We're right here gleaning on purpose. Verse 17 says, "So she gleaned in the field until even and beat out that she had gleaned, and it was about an ephah of barley." All she needed was enough for today. The Lord said, "Give us this day our daily bread," right? All she needed was enough for today. What God gave her to take home was 8 1/4 gallons. An ephah. 8 1/4 gallons. Can you imagine this young girl trying to carry all that home? I thought she might have had to get one of the other maidens. "Can you help me? My cup runneth over. I just can't hardly contain it." I can't either. Can't either. Man, the promises of God and His Word. If God opens our eyes to the promises in His Word, it can't be contained. It just keeps running. It just keeps running. Lord, bring us to the field. Calls us to glean, we pray. All right, let's stand together.